Hi, everybody, and welcome to episode number 49 of Girl Fight. My name is Nicole Tanner, and I'm your host. Today, I'm joined by Megan Sullivan.
Yar.
Christine Steimer.
Hello.
Dana Jungle Ward.
Hi.
And Stephanie Lee.
Hello, Internet.
Poor Audrey is sick.
Right before your 3-9.
Not good timing.
Yeah. Hopefully, she can recuperate in the next couple of days or... Her first E3 is going to be a really bad one.
3 days is ample time to at least get better.
Well, it depends on what she's got.
It's true. If she had like arthrovirus, she'd be down for the count.
Arthrovirus.
That was like 3 weeks.
Yeah,
that
arthrovirus was bad.
His voice is still messed up.
And he lost like 20 pounds. Like he just,
I know. Can I have that? I don't want that.
But. I did say that to him. Yeah. I was like, why are my illnesses never ones that let me just magically lose?
But then as soon as you start eating again, you gain that weight.
Yeah,
right
now.
It's all water weight.
Yeah.
But he came in and I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
You're looking kind of gaunt, dude.
Yeah. So hopefully
it's
Audrey
like a minor cold
okay.
And she will recover.
Get well,
because you know, especially even if her immune system is down, then she's going to catch something
nerd flu
terrible at E3 as well, which we probably all will. I almost always get sick after E3.
Nerd strains are particularly powerful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's even with carrying antibacterial stuff in my purse and putting it on my hands every time I touch a controller. And
that's
because
we're all, everyone's overworked, everyone's tired, you have crappy nutrition.
Last year I didn't eat like the first 2 days, and it wasn't like I was trying to not eat. I just was so busy and like my mind was elsewhere and the food was also crappy.
This is my 10th E3, and I would wager a guess that more often than not, I have gotten more calories from liquids than solids every E3 that I've been to.
Jamba Juice, baby.
But you gotta get those calories.
Booze and lattes. Booze and lattes are what I get.
I'm hoping.
Yeah. Well,
really?
Yeah.
You can hopefully help us to try and.
I can't.
I'm gonna have
a hard time helping you guys from the office.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Stephanie and I chained to our desks here in the office. So enjoy.
Well, unfortunately.
Hopefully the food will be better this year.
Because we are not so for people who don't know, like typically, like IGN always has a room that is rented and then it's just basically rows of tables and plugins and stuff for your laptops. And then you just sit there
and
everyone
writes.
So it
looks like a Facebook game company, basically.
Yes, it does. Typically that has been, often it has been in the convention center, not typically, but often it's in the convention center. And if it's in the convention center, then you have to buy the convention center food.
Which
and the convention
sucks.
Center food is terrible.
High school cafeteria.
Yeah.
It's
worse than that.
Except much more expensive if you end up buying it on your own.
Poor quality and twice the price.
Yeah.
It's awful, 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 awful.
Well, now they have that LA Live Center that they just opened up recently. Last 2 years or something, right?
But it's all through Aramark. You can't have those people come in because of contracts and stuff. Like the only food that you can have brought in. In fact, because every once in a while the sales team would like smuggle in and out for everyone.
That was so good.
So you're not actually allowed to leave your seats. Or you're so busy that you can't leave them.
No, the company.
You don't have time.
The company needs to pay for food, so obviously they don't want you. Can't go out and expense food on your own because otherwise you're just wasting money.
Mm-hmm.
That's bananas.
Yeah.
So this year we are at the Marriott, and we're getting
across
food
the street
from there. And I ate at the restaurant that is in that hotel last year, and it was actually very good. So
expectations are a little higher this year.
Yeah, I mean, I hope. It doesn't disappoint everybody.
And then there also, I think, would be the option to order from places that are not the hotel, too.
Yeah.
Like, if you're renting that room. Like, it isn't going to be... Yeah.
It will not be Aramark.
I think it's the same deal, only it's not Aramark. Like, you have to order food from there. That's why
that's
you're
fine.
Being really
strict. It's not Aramark.
It,
that's all that matters.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's probably the same as if you would book a wedding or something
there.
Exactly. You have to order the food. So, hopefully, it will be good. Hotel food sometimes... You know, that food that we had at the Women in Gaming Awards was not that great.
It wasn't terrible.
It wasn't terrible, but...
Kind of meh.
Yeah. Except for the dessert, which was terrible.
The dessert was just funky and awful.
Yeah.
It was like, ugh. It was just gross.
Yeah. So hopefully that won't be the case here, but we'll see.
But I would so wager a guess that I will drink more calories than I eat.
Probably.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Mm. So we'll circle back to E3 in just a bit. But first, let's talk about what we're playing. Stephanie, do you want to start?
Sure. So I'm playing a little bit of L.A. Noire still. I'm almost done with the guide, actually. So I'm wrapping that up and moving on to my new project, which is Zelda Ocarina of Time for the 3DS.
Nice.
And I'm actually excited to play it because I haven't played it in like 13 years.
Yeah.
And I remember back when it came out in 98, mm-hmm. that was one of the games that got me like thinking about it while I was at school. And I couldn't wait to get home and play more of it. And I sat mm-hmm. my ass down for like 8 hours every day for 3 days after school to play to beat it the first time. And I kept playing it again. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited to go back to it, actually. I might be the only one in this room, right? Who's excited to play it again?
Yeah, I've never played it.
Yeah.
I have no nostalgic attachment.
I don't have a 3DS, so whatever.
Yeah, I don't have a 3DS either.
We have 50 unused 3DS.
I don't know. I don't have any. Usually, I mean, this isn't, you know, just Zelda Ocarina mm-hmm. of Time. Yeah. Usually when I'm done with the game, I'm done with the game. Very rarely do mm-hmm. I play through a game like that more than once. So, I don't know.
I feel like the replay value for that game is pretty high. That's just me, though. Like, it's part of the, most of it is a nostalgic factor, too.
Yeah.
And I actually started playing Super Street Fighter 4, uh-huh. and there's kind of like a backstory to why I kind of like picked it up again, because I stopped playing Street Fighter games after a little bit of Third Strike. I went to FanimeCon this past weekend, which was awesome. All the costumes were really like ace. I've never been so impressed with cosplays until I went back to Fanime. And they set up an arcade where they put up so many fighting game arcade machines, and I was just watching all these people, and I kind of like missed that community feeling, like that arcade community uh-huh. feeling. Mm-hmm. So that inspired me to pick up Super Street Fighter 4, because I'm really crappy at fighting games. So I'm going to train myself to be better and decent, so I can challenge these fools. Mm-hmm. And
Mark Ryan.
No, get pointers from
him. I'm actually asking him to train me.
Yeah, yeah. That's the way to go.
You know that they're post E3, they're starting a fight club.
Yes, I do know.
So
you're not supposed to talk about that.
Oh.
No, I'm just kidding. First rule of Fight Club.
I know.
I was like, no, I think you can actually say it.
With all the embargoes and everything going around for E3, it's like, oh crap.
Yeah. I've been told that I have to do a warm-up match one day, which I was like, well, I do hear that people get toastier from laughing their heads off at incompetence. So that'll work well if mm-hmm. I'm supposed to be playing a fighting game against someone.
So that's what I'm playing.
Cool. Dana?
Sweet. I didn't play much, but I did finish Portal 2 finally.
Yay!
Totally worth it. Yeah. I mean, it was funny, though, because I played the same way Christine did, where I would play until I got stuck, and then I would just walk away, because I'm not going to beat my head against, and I didn't cheat at all, so I was proud of myself for that. But the one spot that I had gotten stuck at, like, every time that I would come back, and usually, you know, when you do that and then you come back and you're like, oh, duh, I should try this. And I kept coming back like 3 times in a row. I was like, I cannot get out of this section. But I finally did that this weekend. And that's pretty much it. It's been a lot of E3 work mm-hmm. taking over life. Mm-hmm. So,
and I saw your tweet that your daughter mocked you.
Yeah, she told me yesterday, she said, I can't talk right now, I'm working. And I was like, oh, God.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Little sass back.
Yeah, she's two. So that makes me think that, I maybe need to dial back the work time around a little bit
That's
more.
That's the age when they're like the most sassy, huh?
Yeah. Well, not even just sassy. It's like, it's just scary, the stuff that you hear repeated back. Mm-hmm. And you're like,
like a little mirror.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yes,
too.
It is. Pretty terrifying. I mean, she calls her room her office.
What?
She does.
Nice. Wow.
I mean, she's always she was like, do you want to go to my office? I'm like, okay, sure. Like, what do you do at your office? She's like, I play with toys. I'm like, okay.
Pretty similar to what mommy does.
They hold meetings with my Barbie.
Yeah,
dolls.
Exactly. No Barbies.
Cool. Christine?
I don't think I can mention the game I'm playing, but it's something that I have to review, and it comes out shortly after E3, so I'm trying to finish it up before we get out the door. Haven't beat Portal 2 yet. Haven't beat L.A. Noire yet.
Yeah.
Just have been you, so sitting in the back burner.
Well, I played a little bit more of L.A. Noire, but it was not enough to even think about. Oh, remember how we had that question a few weeks ago about if we ever played games drunk? I was playing L.A. Noire drunk, and that is not a good idea. You're not. My interviewing tactics did not get
so
better.
Like, oh, whoops.
Yeah. It wasn't even that. It was just like, you know, I'm missing obvious clues. I just had to turn off the 360. Yeah. I was like, this isn't working.
Nice.
Megan?
What am I doing? I played WWE All-Stars, actually, last weekend. And I will say that the concept is actually really cool. If you are
Have you played any WWE games?
Yeah. I'm a huge wrestling fan.
Are you? Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I don't think I knew that.
Yeah, when we were at Coco, it was Eric Goldman, Matt Fowler, and Dan Iverson and I talking for an hour nonstop about wrestling. And people would keep coming into our circle. And that's leaving. What you're talking about. And then leaving. They like, no idea what you're talking about. Yeah, that was pretty amazing. So I actually, I read Greg's review and I was like, yeah, I'll rent it. I won't buy it, but I'll rent it. And once you get the moves down, it's actually pretty fun. It's kind of wacky, over the top. You can be all the old school wrestlers that we all used to love, like Mr. Perfect and Macho Man and Hulk Hogan and Randy Savage.
R.I.P.
Yep. Mm. Yep. I'm sorry to say. And you can pit them against current wrestlers on the roster. And the problem is it's supposed to be pick up and play. And it's the not. Way the controls are mapped out, it's really convoluted. So it shouldn't have taken me 20 minutes to figure out how to do a finisher, but it took me like 20 minutes to do a finisher. I was like, are you kidding? There's nothing intuitive about this game at all. And it's like, once you learn it, you're like, duh, but it shouldn't have taken me 20 minutes. It's just the way it was mapped out. And then when you do try to do it, you have to do a taunt. So meaning that wrestlers will signal when their finisher is coming up to the audience. And so you do that in the game and you're like, oh, that's really cool. And then despite the fact that your opponent is not supposed to have any energy left, they will leap up and kick you, and then it'll break your finisher. And I would lose matches because I either, you know, my finisher would get interrupted and then the AI would do like an 8-chain move, or, you know, it was, I don't know.
That was the annoying part, that because I played with Greg too, and it was like, when they knock me down, like, they have plenty of time to do the taunt and I can't get up. Yeah. For whatever reason. But then the same thing happens to them and they leap up immediately. Mm. And you're like, what the heck?
There's no balance. And I can't figure out, like, there's no training mode, which drove me crazy.
There's no tutorial whatsoever.
Yeah, there's no tutorial. So it's like, okay, I can figure out some things. Oh, that was really cool. How do I do it again? Or how do I do a chain combo? Like, because the AI kept doing that to me. And it's like, well, how do I do that to you? I have no idea. So it's like, if this was supposed to be pick up and play, if this was supposed to be, you know, just an old school arcade game, they needed to do this a little bit better. Definitely, so I would say
RTFM.
RTFM.
Read the bleeping manual.
Well, that's the thing.
Did when it you get not it from, come with a manual?
If there is a manual.
No manual. I got it from Gamefly. Manual. Oh. So, yeah, and there's no tutorial in the game that you can rely on.
I don't think the manual was that good either. I don't remember manuals a lot of it, but manuals these days are like totally bare bones.
I know. I'm just joking.
Yeah. But, okay. There you go. And you rent it from Gamefly.
But no, I mean,
it
used to be.
Yeah. It would make sense.
The manual used to have everything in there. Yeah.
That's
why
I kept looking for a tutorial mode. I was just like, God, I'm just, you know, and sometimes stuff would flash on the screen like, hey, press R1, L1, 2.
Oh, there you go, Dana.
Damn. It's been a long time. Sorry, Megan.
That's okay. That's, I'm done. Yeah. That's it.
That was the finisher.
That was the finisher. That
was boom, boom.
Yeah.
Nice.
Sponsored by Diet Coke.
Christine, what's that wallpaper on your iPad too?
It's this really cool art that I found on DeviantArt. It's Anders.
Oh,
yeah, it's really cool.
Okay, I thought it was like a goldfish.
It's very,
from
we have to, or like a clownfish from my
You have to describe it for the audience because they can't hear it.
It's pretty and blue, and then it's Anders looking all angsty, but then he's got like
emo
see
Anders
justice, like the blue coming through his face.
Yeah.
Cool.
Spoilers? I don't know.
Too late. And then there's like a little chibi.
Yeah,
art.
And then on my front screen, I have like this. I think it's the same artist too. He did like this little chibi thing of Anders and Fenris.
That's cute.
And Anders has a cat on his head, and it's really freaking cute.
Yeah. Where did you get it so that the audience can go look at it?
I don't remember what the artist's name. Let me see if
is Anders wearing a cast in that picture, or what? Is that something? Or is this my eyes playing tricks on me?
What do you mean?
Just kidding.
He's holding a bowl full of milk for his kitty.
So pounce a lot.
Nice. You guys keep talking. I'll try and see if I can figure out where it's from. Okay.
What are you playing, Nicole?
I actually haven't been playing all that much. I played a little bit of Candy Train on my commute. That game drives me nuts. Mm-hmm. Because it's one of those games that's like, kind of like you restart a new game without even thinking about it because mm-hmm. it's like, oh, I know I can do better. I know right. I can do better. And then, you know, on the iPhone, it's not that great because you're hitting the wrong
right,
pieces
it's so small.
Of track left and right. And sometimes it just screws you. Like, I hate that it spawns the next car that you have to pick up in the exact same spot where you picked up the last mm-hmm. one. So you have to try to loop around the entire screen. And also the ending points seem to be always screwed. There were yeah. a couple times I had everything set up to go right into the ending mm-hmm. thing, and then the piece right before the ending thing switched. And I'm like, give me a break.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Don't do yep. that. So, and then other than that, it's been mostly Facebook games. There's been a couple new ones launched this week. Zynga's new one. Which does not have Ville in the title.
Oh.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
They're evolving.
It's called Empires and Allies. Well, they're not evolving that much. It's basically Cityville with combat thrown in. And the combat is okay. There's actually a little bit of strategy to it because certain troops are stronger or weaker against certain other troops. But it's still Zynga. It's still spam your friends and, endless clicking type stuff. So they're sort of moving in the right direction, but they haven't moved all that far. And then today I checked out the infamous Facebook game, which is like...
Is it a Facebook game or a marketing
No, it's an actual game, but it's basically they just took your standard, what you would think of traditionally of a Facebook game, put an infamous wrapper on it. So there's actual farming.
You can grow crops.
No, you're not growing crops. Oh, you're growing amps.
Oh my god!
So you have you have amp farms where you plant things like coal and batteries,
terrible
and fuse cells.
That sounds terrible.
And that's how you get your electrical power.
Do they have any tie-ins to the game, the retail game?
Not. It doesn't look like it. Like
so
I
there's no
looked
benefit.
Through
so don't
it.
Play it.
Yeah. I mean, I looked through it. I didn't see anything. You know, obviously they could add that when the game mm-hmm. comes out. Who knows? But yeah, that one was a pretty big fail. And
I don't know what you're talking about. It sounds awesome. But mine for coal.
Is this sponsored at all by Sucker Punch?
It wasn't made by Sucker Punch, but it's Sony published.
It's sponsored by Subway. There's a Subway app.
It's sponsored by Subway.
I'm not kidding.
It's a real infamous game. Like it's the real mm-hmm. deal franchise. Mm-hmm. But it's not, you know, as far as the gameplay goes.
I think if you go to the website, there's a picture of Cole eating a sandwich or a sandwich coming at you or something.
What?
Nice.
Yep.
I haven't come across any Subway references in
that thing. I clicked on the, I don't know why it took me to a Subway ad first before I went to Facebook page.
I think like if you buy something special at Subway, you get in-game currency or something like that. So,
wow. Yeah.
Oh my Whee. God.
Give me that 6-inch veggie sub.
But I did this week stumble upon a Facebook game that I really like and is probably my new favorite. It's got the most generic name ever. It's called Social Empires, but it is an actual real RTS you have different types of units that you build and you have to send your villagers out to get resources. And there are little trolls who come and attack you and you have to, you know, modify what you're doing in order to fight them. And it's really cool. So I'm very much enjoying that one. I'm positive that's going to make it into one of my Facebook games that don't suck columns.
Cool,
for sure.
Nice.
Infamous, on the other hand, will not. And the reason why that's pretty much all I've been playing is because I've been reading a lot. I'm going to pull a Dana here.
Yay!
I am completely enthralled with Song of Ice and Fire. I am on
good series.
Yeah, it's
good series. I cannot wait for Dance.
I'm surprised at how good it is, actually.
Oh, you've never read it before?
I never read it before. And I typically lower my expectations when I'm reading fantasy mm-hmm. because, to be honest, in the most cases, the writing is not as well done as it is in, like, literary fiction. But this is really good. The characters are super deep and, you know, the bad guys are, you know, in some cases so evil that you love to hate them.
Yeah, and it's hard to always cheer for the quote-unquote good guys, too.
Yeah, that's what I mean. There's like, there's a couple characters where it's like you kind of know which direction they're going in, but then they throw you for a loop, and so very interesting. And so I'm excited about
that.
Cannot
wait for Dance.
Is that the fifth one?
Yeah, that's the fifth one. I think it comes out July.
Yeah, I think so too, because the author is doing a book signing tour.
Yeah, he's
in July,
actually. I am definitely going to that if I have to.
Yeah,
friggin'.
It's gonna be
quit my job to do it.
Out here, I think I looked it up on his website last night. It's gonna be in Redwood City on like July 27th or something.
Yeah,
like
something
that.
Like that. So. Yeah, I check his website every day.
Maybe I should. I have a vacation coming up.
On my Nook. On my Nook, they sold the four books together as a set, so you didn't have to download them individually. Total page count: 3,496.
They're not short stories,
and that's even with a small font. So I can't imagine how many pages it's going to be.
Wait till you get for a Storm of Swords, I think is what it's called, and it's like even in the book form, it was just monstrously huge.
That's why it's nice to have it on my Nook, because I don't have to lug these massive books around.
Yes.
So
or when I mean, yes. First world problems, I know, but like when you're lying in bed and reading, and when you have those big books and your hands get really tired, I'm so tired. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. That's why I'm really happy I bought a Kindle.
Are you liking it?
The iPad. Yeah, it's just so nice to read on. Like, I don't want to read on.
Yeah.
The iPad is too bright.
Yeah.
Well, then it's heavy, actually. After a while, your hand kind of cramps up. Yeah. I've tried it.
Because a Kindle is the one that doesn't have, like, backlighting or something, right? So it doesn't
Kindle and Nook.
Kindle and Nook. Well, there are two Nooks now. The color Nook does have backlighting. Because it has to have a screen light.
Right.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, if I'm going to get something, I would not want it to be backlight because my eyes strain so badly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the one that I have is the digital ink. The regular one.
Yeah, and I have spent entire days just, you know, where I'll read a couple of books in a day. And
like reading a paperback.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Except your hands don't cramp up from holding the pages on.
Totally. Or if you're
apparently
sitting...
I have weak
you should do some fingers.
You should train yourself with a PSP.
I used to be a big piano player, but not anymore.
Squish ball.
Oh, they have those. They have like grip masters.
Yeah. True. Yeah, so that's what I've been doing more than gaming. I still have to finish Infamous. But I returned my library copy today with the hopes that soon I will just be able to download it for free.
It's back up. PSN is
the welcome back stuff's not back up yet.
Yeah. I keep forgetting that.
So. We're not up yet.
But I can wait. It's not that big of a deal. Anyhow. So that's what we've been playing. And now we're circling back to E3.
Quick note.
Yes.
In case anybody's wondering about the Anders art, the artist's name is Sandara. So Sandara on DeviantArt.
They're very, very, very talented. It's really super sweet.
And if that's you, we like your stuff.
We do. send us fan art. Yeah. Anything BioWare.
Yeah. So E3 officially starts on Tuesday. However, there are lots of press conferences the day before.
And
so
some
many.
Events the day before that.
Yes.
Which I shake a fist.
But it's not,
I don't have to go to any of them.
It's not as bad as last year's.
Yes, exactly.
Last year's Connect event was a terrible thing.
Yeah, I mean, I doubt. Who is it, THQ that's got the Sunday night one?
No, I thought they canceled it.
Oh, no, there are a couple of other things going on.
I don't think anybody's going to make us wear robes again.
No, nobody's going to provide the costumes for us or make you climb through a TV and look at a really creepy family.
And stand for three hours.
I want to hear this story.
Skittles.
Yeah.
Actually, that didn't come until the press conference.
Yeah,
that wasn't part of the event.
The event was like some weird safari, creepy people. I don't know. So last year's Connect, since you were out there, basically they shuffled you through like lines, and they made you put on these big white robes with giant shoulder pads, which had lights in them,
and smelled bad.
And smelled bad.
I didn't smell them.
I smelled it when I put it over my head.
I don't have the greatest sense of smell. So anyway, you walk through, and then they like put you. They make you walk through a hole in the wall. It's designed to look like you're coming out of the TV.
And then there's a family on the other side.
Of actors on the other side, and they're just.
And there were different families representing multiple cultures.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had the white bread family.
I did too.
And I had the black family.
So creepy. It was like, oh, hi.
Wow.
And then like when you got in, like we were all standing in the middle of this
auditorium
like for literally at least an hour. And
that was before stuff got started.
Yeah. And then they had like families like sitting in seats like suspended from the ceiling, like
whoa,
like, yeah, like dozens of feet in the air.
And whoa, there was a kid on there, and I was like, what sort of forms did you have to sign for you to suspend a child like, on a sofa? Like,
and then the Cirque du Soleil people were dressed up as like weird kind of weird, wood. Like, elves woodsman or people, something like that. Oh,
and one of them kept grabbing me. Like, he grabbed my wrist and, like, pulled it out. And I was like, do you want shake my hand? What do you want? And but they, like, they would just kept talking in their whatever stupid made-up language. And I was like, I don't know what you want me to do.
Mm-hmm. And then it was a terrible waste of those people. I mean, if you're going to hire Cirque du Soleil,
exactly, hire them cool
to put on a show, not to act like circus freaks and run around and bother people.
What they ended up doing was putting other people, like, so all of our hands were sticking out, and then there was, like, a circle of people with arms in the middle. It was really dumb. Wow. And then we I don't know.
And then when the event started, and this was the thing that made me just want to throw up all over everything, was when the event began, like, it started off with this whole, like, there was like this big rock hill that they'd built in the middle, and there was a kid like climbing up the rock, and like at each level of the hill he would like stop and play with a new controller, you know, and it was like supposed to show how we'd evolved in gaming. And so the last step obviously was Kinect, and it was just like, really? Really? Yeah. You know, it was like, oh, look, humanity.
Cool. Oh, but the cool thing was they had a giant animatronic elephant that was really, it was creepy, but sort of cool at the same time.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, it's huge.
I don't know. It was 3 hours of my life for what was basically a big giant infomercial.
Oh, totally.
No actual...
It was not worth it.
Yeah.
By any means.
And I can't imagine how much money it cost.
Way too much.
Yeah. Yep. But that was last year's E3. Yeah. So
this year, there's nothing like that happening.
Yeah.
Hopefully. As far as we know.
As far as we know. There's still time for surprises. Last year, they were treating it like a new console launch. So
Well, they're still going to push the crap
out of
Kinect.
There is going to be a new console this
year.
Yeah.
Cafe.
So who knows what
let's kind of, to keep the discussion rolling, so let's start with the console makers. So Microsoft has the first press conference.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right now, Monday morning.
Yes.
I think it starts at 9:30.
And what can we expect to see there, Christine?
Well, according, they sent out little badges and then like, it's sort of like Mad Libs, like insert your own things here and there. Stuff mentioned on that was Halo. Mm-hmm. There was Tomb Raider. Mm-hmm. There was Kinect Star Wars. And there was something, Batman was on there. So it'll be sort of interesting to see how all of that is actually incorporated into the conference.
Right.
Kinect stuff should still be there again this year.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they're not abandoning that. So
after all the money they spent on that launch.
All that, the event last year, I think they're sticking with it. There should be. Honestly, I don't expect too much.
Theirs is going to be the least. Like,
it's going to be the least exciting for people looking forward to exclusives, like Microsoft exclusives, because I don't think that they have.
Because everything that you just listed, except for Halo, was a third party.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
Oh, Forza should be there as well. And Gears, of course.
Yeah. Hulk Hogan, he has his Kinect game.
Oh, right. There's that Hulk Hogan Kinect game that was just announced. I don't know if that'll be at the conference, but.
Well, I mean, that seems like a big opportunity for them to bring him in.
Oh, totally.
No, he's going to be there. I think I read that he's going to actually.
Well, he's going to be at E3.
Yeah.
Yes, I know.
I don't know if he'll be at the conference,
And then the other conferences that day, in between the big ones, we have EA and Ubisoft in that afternoon.
And I will say, Ubisoft, well, they're all very nice people. They have the longest, most boring press conference.
I don't know what you're talking about. Last year they had laser
tag. Yes, but we don't even talk about it. Yeah, they had last year. They showed some crazy convoluted laser tag.
It was laser
thing.
Tag.
Yeah.
I don't know how that's a video game.
But at least they had Joel McHale.
Yes, Joel McHale.
You know, he's amusing.
What happened to the breathing? This year?
I don't know. He's done it the last 2 years, so. Yeah. And then they had, some weird, like.
Breathing game.
Oh, right.
Remember the breathing game?
Like, they had to properly inhale.
Yeah.
It was, like, called Vitality or something.
That was
Ubisoft.
Was
Ubisoft. Yeah. But, I don't know what happened to that.
I don't know what happened to that either.
I don't know if.
With the same way as the vitality sensor.
Yeah.
I think. I mean, I think.
Talk about that anymore.
With both of them, that most of the stuff, you're just going to see some more info about stuff we've already heard about. Like, obviously, Battlefield 3 will be.
Right.
Mass Effect 3.
I don't think there's going to be anything super new. I know a couple others, but that are not yet announced.
Right.
But it's not anything like. Whoa!
Yeah. And then later that night, we have Sony.
It's the first year in a while where there's been two major conferences on Monday.
Yeah.
Usually it's Monday, it's Microsoft, and then Tuesday's Nintendo.
Sony and Nintendo. Yeah, so Sony's doing Monday night this time. Mm-hmm. And the big thing that we're going to see there is NGP. There's going to have a lot of NGP games that we're going to be able to play. Mm-hmm. I think, I don't know if we even know them all, because I know one of them on my list of assignments was NGP number 5. So I'm like, okay. So that should be cool. I'm looking mm-hmm. forward to that. And right after the press conference, they have an arcade where we get to go play the games. Mm-hmm. And then they are having their party event,
mm-hmm.
who they say will be attended by a very special guest. So we'll
Kevin
Button.
I
want
to go.
Well, back in the day,
I'm going to Microsoft also has an event that night. I have to go see.
Yeah, back in the day when Sony was riding really high on the PS2, they used to throw the craziest parties. Like where were those at? It was like right by
Dodger Stadium, wasn't it?
Yeah.
What?
It wasn't like in the stadium,
it was like that whole area around outside, yeah. And they would have multiple. Like big
multiple
name musical
stages
guests
of musical guests and
wow.
weird dancers and tons of food, and like it was the party to be at.
Man.
They are gonna have food trucks at Sony's thing. I was excited about that. I wanna go there.
The Sony party was always the one that you wanted to get into. Yeah. And it was like this thing where you had to go pick up a wristband and show an ID, but then like after people got the wristband you had to go to their booth, and it was I went to a few, although I'm trying to remember now any of the bands off the top of my head. The only one I can remember is Foo Fighters.
There was at once, I forget the name of the band, but it's a band that's like made up by a bunch of random famous people, and they only play, you know, very rarely. Mm-hmm. It's like Freddie Goes to Camp or something like that. Mm-hmm. But Juliette Lewis and the guy from Stone Temple Pilots mm-hmm. and a few other people mm-hmm. would get together and jam, and they played one year. So,
but they would have like 3 or 4, like it was always a lineup of multiple guests, and it was an insane sort of thing. Yeah.
The funniest one I saw was the Midget Kiss cover band.
Nice.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was wonderfully entertaining.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Or I'm sorry if midget is the wrong term, little person, mm-hmm. dwarf, whatever. They dressed up like Kiss and played Kiss songs, and it was totally awesome. Yeah. So
nice.
That's so, cool. However, I don't think Sony has the budget to do that anymore. So,
not right now. I think they're still hurting a little bit.
Well, yeah. Here's the thing. It's like, I mean, that stuff was really cool, but then you're like, is there really, what's the return on it?
Yeah.
I mean, I was there, my first E3 was the year that the first Xbox was announced, mm-hmm. and they had like this insane launch party sort of and it wasn't even a launch party because it wasn't even out yet. It was just like this insane sort of thing, and it was garbage was playing, and you know, it was like it was a really unbelievable event. And like I just remember, I don't even remember where it was, but it was like in this building, and we went up and like they had green lights over the whole building, so the whole building was green on the outside, and it was insane. They don't really do parties at that scale anymore.
Which
is okay.
Yeah.
No, it's not. I want to have some fun.
All right. So then after Sony, which I don't know, I heard some rumors going around that the person who's performing is going to be Rebecca Black. I really hope that that's not true.
Oh my God.
Oh, that would not be okay.
No way.
I hope. Yeah.
She would be booed out of the podcast. Yeah.
Bad.
So hopefully that's not the case. But then the next morning, bright and early, we have Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
Who will be announcing details of their new
or whatever
console.
Yeah.
I can't wait to stop referring to it as Project Cafe.
Yeah.
Which sounds like
a
Facebook game.
I wanted
to
have a real name.
Yeah.
A cappuccino machine.
Yeah.
But what was it going to be, though? The
stream.
Stream.
Wii Stream. Yeah.
Not Wii Stream.
No, not Wii Stream. Just Stream.
I like my title better.
I feel like they have like a peeing fetish. It's like a
Wii. Oh, yeah. Wii and then Stream. Yeah. Can't work.
I'm really interested to see, like, I mean, because there's been all the rumors floating around about what it's going to be, and mm-hmm. I'm just, it will be nice to have some more facts to look at.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then decide if they're crazy.
And see what games are going to come out for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
New franchise.
I doubt that's going to happen.
I'm hoping.
I'm hoping too, but I don't think it's going to happen. So yeah, and then once Nintendo's press conference is over, and then the show starts.
Yay!
And you can see all those press conferences. I mean, IGN is yes. there. We stream them all. And it's actually, we also are YouTube's official partner. So you can, if you want to go to YouTube, yes. you can watch our stream there too.
And once the show floor opens, then our live show starts, which is where we have lots of companies come and give us demos. And one of the editors sits there and asks them questions. And that show is kicking off with Mass Effect 3.
Yay!
And we will also be soliciting reader questions. So if you're via yeah. Twitter. So if you're paying attention, come up with some good questions for some of these games.
Yeah, absolutely.
Your question could be chosen.
Absolutely.
Read live on the air.
So I was going to go through this whole list, but I don't think that that is necessary. So why don't we just all go around and talk about which game we're looking forward to the most?
Tomb Raider. I'm very curious about the reboot. Well, yeah. I mean, Tomb Raider is the one that I'm very curious about. Like, just mm-hmm. seeing what the, I mean, what we've seen so far, it looks like a really intriguing premise. And mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah. A nice kind of reinvention of mm-hmm. Lara Croft, which.
Exactly. Would be cool. I'm looking forward to see, because I haven't personally gotten to see it yet either, BioShock Infinite. I mean, I'm like manning the war room, so I don't know how many of these games I'm
That's mine.
Get to see,
BioShock but... Infinite is mine, too. Yeah. And I have put on that appointment.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dana. And that's the first appointment I have, so I am super excited.
Kicking it off with good stuff.
I know. The rest of the show is just going to suck after that.
I know.
The Last Guardian is not going to be there, right?
Because
that was my most anticipated game of this year until they pushed it back.
Yep.
Yeah.
It is not.
Yeah. So now it's kind of sad.
Yeah. BioShock Infinite is definitely mine, hands down. I'm also interested to see Skyrim.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the kind of game that it's really kind of hard to get a feel for in a demo setting. Oh, yeah. So
it's like an MMO, you know, in that regard that you're like, oh, great. I just saw an hour of this game that will theoretically take me hundreds of hours to play.
Yeah. So
yeah, I'm interested in seeing how what id Software is going to do to push Rage out onto, you know, like wow us again with it as they did last year.
So. Yeah, Rage was
I just want that game to come out.
Was IGN's game of E3 last year. So
yeah, it's freaking awesome.
So we'll see.
It looked freaking awesome.
Yeah. What about you, Megan? Anything you're looking forward
I'm boring
to?
And predictable. It's all the usual RPG fare of Mass Effect 3. I saw our new article. If you go on IGN.com, mm-hmm. we have a whole thing about the new combat system, which actually sounds really cool and much improved. And I was very happy that it was confirmed. Spoilers if you're doing a Mass Effect 3 blackout, by the way. But Liara and Garrus are in your party, so I was...
Provided that they are alive
at the end of the second game. And Skyrim is definitely one I'm curious. I've never played an Elder Scrolls game, so I am looking forward to that. And I am curious about Batman.
Batman
City.
Is
Batman yours?
Well, no, it's Mass Effect 3. But it's Mass Effect 3, Batman, Skyrim. Damn it, I forgot the last one.
Uncharted.
There's so many
no one brought
good
it up before.
Games.
I was like, hello.
Yeah, there's just too much to think about, and you're like, there it's is. A little bit overwhelming. Oh, it was BioShock. That's what I think.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, I'm not as excited for games that are going to come out soon, like soonish. October. When it, Arkham City's coming out in October, right?
Yeah.
Everything's coming out in November.
So is Rage.
So is Uncharted.
August.
Yeah, August. Yeah. Well, if it comes out in August, games get delayed all the time. Yeah, you can't pay attention to release dates unless it's 2 weeks away. That's the only time when it's really real. I'm just looking through this list. See, what else big?
I am curious to see Tomb Raider 2, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I am as well.
Yeah, I want to see how it's changed.
Because the pictures are crazy.
Mm-hmm.
He's all covered.
And the concept is cool.
He's like a blood wrestler.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
It's like, you know. We'll see. It could be awesome and it could be
not so awesome.
Are we going to see anything more on the new Devil May Cry that's being done by
DMC?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Character
designed briefly. I have no idea.
Why
what
in
they
the world is Capcom not on this big E3 list of games?
Oh, you know what? They may not be publicizing what they have on the list.
Oh, okay.
If that's the one from, there are many games that we know will be there that are not on that list.
Hi, Ryan.
Oh, God.
Go
what
away.
Now?
Yeah. No.
Yes,
no.
Mr. Clements.
What?
Okay. I'm in trouble.
Yeah, while Christine goes to the principal's office.
yes. Many companies choose not to publicize what they will have at the show until the show itself.
Yes. So I mean, if they have it, that's where that will be. Mm-hmm. Although everybody is saying that it's bad thus far, I am still interested in seeing Ratchet and Clank All for One. Although I don't have a lot of hope that it will be good. Hillary said Hitman Absolution was looking pretty cool. So there's a new Hitman on the way. Let's see. What else? Oh, THQ is showing Margaritaville online. I didn't realize that.
Margaritaville?
Yeah.
That's a restaurant, too.
Yeah.
Well it's also based on a
Jimmy
song.
Buffett's on.
Jimmy Buffett's on.
Oh, yeah. That's what it's based on.
Yeah. And new Assassin's Creed will be there as well.
I'm sure a lot of our listeners are looking forward to that, but I'm just fairly indifferent to Assassin's Creed.
What are you indifferent to?
Oh, Assassin's Creed.
Hey, me too.
I'm indifferent to it at this point only because I haven't played any of them. So if I played one and liked it, I would
be. The first game, but it was like,
I played a lot of the first one, and it was one of those things that it was like. It was either a really awesome bad game or a bad awesome game, if that makes any sense. Like the controls, I loved the controls, and I loved
the first game,
the ability to run around and all of that sort of stuff. I thought it felt really fluid, but it just got really boring and repetitive, and I hated the long, super repetitive cutscenes. Like where you had to go back to talk to that old guy over and over, and then he was just like blah blah, and I'm like, oh, let me skip, I don't care, and it would go on for like 5 minutes, and I'm like, I don't care that you let me move around while he's talking, I still have to listen to him talking.
Yeah, the worst part was, hey, you start out over here, go all the way over here on your horse, but if you run like you'd want to, you're gonna get caught by these guards, so you have to walk. You have to like, make your horse like go really slowly.
Yeah, you do the gentle groping where you could gently nudge people out of the way so you did so they didn't notice that you were pickpocketing them. Just or whatever. So
and the beggars got really annoying as you went.
Oh my god, so. I started punching them.
Yeah.
I was just like, I don't care, die.
Wait, did you all just play the first one?
I just played the first one because I did try playing the second one, and I was like, nope, okay. It's the controls that I don't like.
I love the controls
are kind of janky, but in order to give the franchise a fair shake, you have to play two because the first one was not
great. The first one I played a lot of. The second one I went back and went, nope, still feels the same to me, so no, thank you.
Yeah, the controls were an issue.
I'll get around to playing them at one point, I'm sure.
I'm curious. They're on my list. You already talked about this, but I'm praying, hoping that we see some sort of mention of Beyond Good and Evil 2.
Oh no, we haven't mentioned that yet.
I don't know if that would happen. That'd be really cool.
It would be very cool.
Journey. I am looking forward to seeing Journey as well.
Things.
Yes.
There's just too many games.
So many good games.
So many
very exciting.
But there's some not so great games either.
Oh yeah, there's always those.
There's another Blood Rain on the way. Who's excited for that?
Wow.
And I hate to pick on Majesco, but their lineup is just freaking hilarious. They've got Blood Rain, Betrayal, Camping Mama, Outdoor Adventures, Cooking Mama 4, Kitchen Magic, Face Racers, Photo Finish. Who knows?
That?
It's on 3DS. Oh, I assume so you take a picture of your face and you know,
and race it.
Race it.
Yeah. That's what I would assume.
Dana, that's what you do with your face.
Hulk Hogan's main event, which we already mentioned, something called Mind in Motion, which looks like it'll be Kinect as well. Mm-hmm. Nano Assault, Pet Zombies.
Ooh, that could be good.
Yeah, we'll see. In 3D. 3DS.
As long as they're kittens, right?
They're going to like try and eat your face off from the screen. Yes. Oh, man.
Then they've got Take Shape, The Hidden, and Zumba Fitness 2. Hooray.
Yeah.
What else have we not talked about? The Sesame Street Connect game is going to be there. I'm going to see that.
Oh, I have to say, the Lord of the Rings game that is also going to be at Warner, I am kind of looking forward to because it's Snowblind, which if you play the Baldur's Gate games on Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance, like they're the same studio that did that, and I think it's in that same vein, which it's been a long time since I've gotten to play a little hack and slash game like that. I'm kind of looking forward to it.
I almost started Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance, the other. Are you That's talking about fun. The PS2
mm-hmm.
version? Yeah, I almost started that last night and I was way too tired. And then the PSN yeah. came back online. I was like, oh, great. I get to go add all this stuff at 11:45 at night after having a few glasses of wine. I probably shouldn't be doing this.
Yeah. All right. So, quick, totally random predictions. What do you think is going to be the best game of the show?
That's so tough. We just listed off all these AAA games.
Just pick one. It's not like you're going to die if you're wrong.
That's true. No. Yeah, I know.
It's just fun or to will do. You?
This is your first C3 at IGN.
I'm going to forget my prediction anyway, so you can't hold it against me. I'm going to say Journey.
Okay.
Ooh.
I'm going to go with Bioshock Infinite.
I think I will have to say Bioshock Infinite, too.
Go on Mass Effect 3.
Of course you are.
I know.
My heart says Mass Effect 3. My head says maybe Batman.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. So we shall see next week what goes on. So now we're going to move on to questions. As always, if you have questions, you can send those to IGNGirlFight@gmail.com. Our first question comes to us from Tom in the UK, who says that he has a standard def TV and what? In games like Mass Effect and Dragon Age, he can barely read the codex messages
yeah. yep.
or the notes or emails because the dialogue text is so tiny.
That's what happened to me with the first Mass Effect. I didn't have an HD TV when I tried to play it and I had no idea what was going on.
So his question is, what's the deal with making games this way so that standard definition users lose out?
I'm assuming that they don't have standard definition TVs in the development studio.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because they would be using nicer TVs and they're like, sure, this looks great.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure that's mostly what it is too. I don't think it's like an on purpose.
No.
Conspiracy to make everybody buy an HD TV.
I had to bite the bullet and get an HD TV if I wanted to play any, you know, like PS3 games or anything like that. I was like, you just got
to
do it.
And I think there's probably also an assumption that if you're willing to invest in technology to play games, that like technology is something that's more of a priority for you. And so you probably are more likely to get an HDTV than you would otherwise. I mean, I know my mother-in-law like finally broke down and got an HDTV after I gave her my old 360.
I remember having to write the guide for Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts on Xbox, and you could not read the text.
I did PR
text.
For that game.
You could not read the text.
I remember when that happened, and I was like, oh, shit.
Without the HDTV. So that was a nightmare, and I think my eyes have gotten worse since.
So you could sue Microsoft. Rare.
Yeah. How dare you make this text so small?
Yeah, so it kind of sucks. Terrible. But I really don't think the devs are doing it on purpose.
No.
All right, next question comes to us from Mark. Mark is a single dad with a 14-year-old daughter who is a hardcore gamer, but also the biggest girly girl he's ever met. And his question is, he says he can't seem to find any games that empower women or games that have strong lead woman roles without having them be sexualized. So he wants to know if we have any suggestions for
Beyond
that.
Good and Evil is actually coming out soon. And Jade is a
It did on...
It's on
it did
XBLA.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Did you just say Xbox? I don't know why I heard PS3.
I didn't say a console at all, actually.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's... Yeah, I don't think it's out on PSN yet.
No, it's going to be, though. That's what made me think.
Yeah, it's on Mirror's Xbox Edge. Live.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Mirror's Edge.
Faith.
I don't count first-person games.
Oh, not even Shell from Portal 2? Boo.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, you could put...
She just never died.
Portal 2 or, I mean, in the Half-Life games, like Alex, or in Half-Life 2, Alex is like a good, strong character who isn't like running around with her boobs hanging out.
I know this is because she dresses a little sexy and I always bring it up, but Noriko from Heavenly Sword is actually a really strong character. Which
and it sounds
me.
Like, what's her
Primal.
Name? Primal, right, Jen. her outfit's a little, like she's got tight leather pants and stuff, so she's a little sexualized. But I was into the girl who's going to be, what's her name,
Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm. From what we've heard, seems like she would be, she's going to be a good, I mean, you don't play as her, but.
You don't have to save her or rescue her or anything, which is huge.
It's not like, oh God, I hate those escort missions.
I brought this up on Unlocked once.
I'm a girl. I need a man to help me get over from A to B.
What game was it? It was Knight's Contract and like the witch. And like in order for you to heal, she has to like jump into your arms as if like you're you just got married or something and like walking out the door. Yeah. And like, oh, you just have to run around carrying her like this until you've healed. And like, this
wasn't
is so
your AI
stupid.
As dumb as a doorpost.
Oh,
on top
yeah.
of that.
She would just like want, she was suicidal. Yeah. She was like, I'm going to kill myself now. You can't stop me. Like, okay. Well, I just lost the game. Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say Aya from what the heck is it called?
Parasite Eve.
Parasite Eve. But the PSP one, they really dumbed her down, I think.
Well, she was actually sexualized too, because there was like this gratuitous shower scene in Parasite Eve 2 that was kind of unnecessary.
Well, I didn't play that. The PSP one is the third birthday is the one I played first, and I was like, "What is?" Everyone says what an awesome character this is, but she keeps her clothes keep ripping off, and every answer is, "I don't." And I'm like, "That's the voice of Miranda." I'm like, "I know you can do a good voice acting job. Why is it that everything's like,
difficult for
that's
Japanese?
What they want.
For Japanese developers to make Aizuchi strong stuff, female characters."
Yeah.
Which actually leads perfectly into our next question, which comes to us from Nick. And he says he realized that the female character models in Mortal Kombat have gotten a bit out of hand.
No kidding.
And he says he can remember a time when he found the women of Soul Calibur attractive, but now that he's adult, he'd rather see realistic women in games and have better gameplay rather than what's seen in Mortal Kombat. Now, quick disclosure, Mortal Kombat is not Japanese.
Right.
That has been U.S. developed.
Yes.
The whole time. Ed Boon is the guy who created that. But anyhow, his question is that do we think that is one of the reasons that the Japanese game development scene has been going downhill, because they're traditionally known for these very sexualized and, you know, stupid girls.
I don't think that's, I mean, I don't think it's helped it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's that their gameplay has not
that's
evolved
what I'm saying.
At
like,
all.
They just haven't changed in that regard and any other regard in terms of like gameplay. Or
except
like,
visuals. So, things have gotten prettier.
Things have gotten better.
Though, one game that they did really well with in terms of like making a female character was Metal Gear Solid 3 with Big Boss. Mm-hmm. That was really cool. I mentioned that on Unlocked.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was one of the strongest female characters I've ever seen.
Cool. Next question comes to us from Joel. Joel has an IGN process question. It's nice that when we get to clear up these little issues that pop up on the site. So he says, it seems like with really big releases like Halo Reach and most recently Mortal Kombat, we have to wait until the day of launch or sometimes days later to get a full review. He says he appreciates a little post saying when we can expect the review, but wants to know why the delay. Do game companies give us a certain time that we can release our review? And if that's the case, he says he doesn't think that's right. They can delay the review to a day after launch, and people who can't wait for the review may buy it before they see the scores that may have swayed them otherwise.
So well, yeah, there's not a whole lot you can do there, because if they give it a copy too early, you have to abide by
their
embargo.
Yes. So yeah, if it comes out on the day of it, yes, that is because they have given us the game and they have said you may not publish it till time X, but a lot of cases
Don't even get the game until it comes out. And then the reason why those take so long is because we are trying to very thoroughly play through the game and give you an honest review based on the entire game.
And then if there's a review, that takes longer. So.
Yep. Yeah.
And if there's multiplayer, in a game, then you usually can't do anything. Like with MMOs, mm-hmm. like you can't review them until they go out because you have no accurate experience of what it's going to be like within the game until everyone's on. You're like, oh, wow, look at this game with 10 people in it. It runs awesome.
Yeah.
And then there are thousands and the game gets crashed.
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, the way this industry works is that, you know, a lot of the product that we receive is pre-release stuff. And because we are getting that, we need to work with the publishers. Because if we don't, then they get mad and don't send us pre-release things anymore.
And then we just get to go out and get it the day of.
And then it comes even later, the review does. So that's just kind of the way it works. You know, I guess in a super First Amendment free, we can print whatever we want attitude, it's not that great, but
that would last
then it's also their right not to give us anything.
Yeah,
exactly. Like that would last one time before it was like, sorry, you don't get anything anymore.
Yeah. And sometimes I think I noticed that like Ryan Clements had a delay in his Final Fantasy 13 review, and it was it's such a long game, A, and B, it's not the only game he's reviewing. So it's like he would go home on the weekends and play it and late at night, and he was determined to get to the end before reviewing it, because sometimes the ending of the game can,
change your opinion.
Yeah, I feel really badly for Clements right now, because he's like crushed under all this E3 stuff, and on top of that, he has to review Hunted, which wasn't sent to him until the day of.
Oh.
And he's been pounding Red Bulls, according to his tweets.
Yes. Yes.
And people are still like, where's the review, Ryan? Why so long?
Yeah. He's like, God,
right up, Ryan,
to
your job.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's what happens. You know, and actually, we don't get games till almost either the day before or the day of launch in many cases.
Yeah, I would say in many. Yeah. And it's kind of a misconception that we play games, like that we spend our time at work playing games. I mean, I know
constantly,
a lot of cases,
yeah,
people do a lot of their review time like at home afterward. Like you, mm-hmm, it's just you end up in meetings and you have other, yeah, stuff you have to do, or you're capturing video for something, or you're doing, mm-hmm, other stuff, so a lot of that playtime happens on our own.
Or your, yeah, podcasting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't let Pear hear you say that.
Yeah, hopefully he won't listen to this episode of Girlfriend. Yeah.
Next question comes to us from Kevin. Kevin says that he doesn't really care for BioWare's dialogue wheel in Mass Effect and in Dragon Age. And he much prefers the silent protagonist, basically, because he feels like that allows you to shape your character a little bit more. And the ones that are voice acted and that you see, it's kind of you, even though you make decisions, mm-hmm, you can't, you know, really make that character yours.
You're not personalizing, yeah, it as much. Yeah.
And so he wants to know what we think about that.
I feel like we've said this before.
I kind of do, too.
I don't really care.
I mean, I agree.
Prefer the wheel.
I actually prefer the Fallout style list of things to, mm-hmm, pick to say, because as I've said before, I think I find that to be a fun part of the game, is kind of, mm-hmm, figuring out which thing you say will get you which reaction, rather, mm-hmm, than this selection is always the good one. Mm-hmm. This one is always the bad one.
I think he'd be saying, like, for example, in Dragon Age Origins, your Grey Warden doesn't actually say anything. So,
yeah,
it's kind of in your imagination how they respond. Whereas in Mass Effect, you know, you might have like Jennifer Hale responding, mm-hmm, which is, mm-hmm, in the one hand, when you have Jennifer Hale, it's freaking awesome. But
yeah,
mm-hmm, the voice for Hawk, I thought was good, but it didn't do anything.
I mean,
it was kind of, so it wasn't bad voice acting, but I was like, yeah, in some cases I do understand you just want the silent protagonist as, mm-hmm, opposed to whatever, but on the flip side it's awkward because your character's just standing there.
Yeah, I like both, but if you're gonna do silent, I prefer it to be first person.
Yeah, like Fallout.
Yeah,
yeah.
And, mm-hmm, then, but if it's third person, I just find it really awkward in Origins, where like you're just standing there and like you theoretically have said something, mm-hmm, and it could be really nasty, but you have zero expression on your face and you're like, what?
Yeah, most of the time over the shoulder.
I don't remember.
That's the thing.
I mean, most of the time,
I
thought I was staring at the back of my character's,
yeah,
head,
was,
which was
sometimes
it's okay.
Camera.
Yeah.
Sometimes it moves over and you can see your face, and you're like, "What the? All right, I was just a bitch to you, but okay. Yeah. Apparently, it doesn't matter. Cool."
Yeah. So next question comes to us from Garrick. Garrick wants to know if we like RTS games, and if so, what are some of our favorites?
No, because I have no reflexes.
I'm
not
like
fast enough.
I'm not good at them.
Turn-based.
I tend to prefer turn-based as well. Probably the only RTS that I actually have really liked and played a lot is Pikmin, actually.
I played Red Alert a long time ago.
Yeah.
But I'm not particularly good at RTSs either.
All right. Sorry,
no,
Garrett.
Sorry.
Next question comes to us from Timothy. Timothy wants to know if he needs to play the first BioShock game in order to understand the sequel. Probably not, but my question to you is why
would you not want to?
Yeah.
Why would you not want to play the better of the two games?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, I don't understand the thought process going there. BioShock 1 is by far superior to BioShock 2. And not only that, is one of the greatest games ever. So
do yourself a favor and play that.
Yeah, really. You need to play BioShock first. Does not compute.
Brain explode.
That may be the closest I've ever seen you beat a flustered.
Yeah.
Okay, next question comes to us from Kyle. Kyle wants to know what our opinions are on video game ads in general, whether they be on TV, websites, billboards. Are they annoying or do we find them helpful somehow?
I mean, I don't find them helpful because my job...
I mean, it can sort of add to
the only way that they help me is with release dates. I'm like, oh, that's when that's coming out.
I mean,
that's the information I get from those ads.
I don't have an issue.
Wait, what are you talking about?
Like if I see an ad and I hadn't known what the release date was for the game and it has the date on it.
I thought you meant in-game ads.
No. He says regular ads.
I misheard you. Okay, yeah. No, I don't care.
I think they're fine as long as they're not done like the Virtual Tennis 4 one with Serena Williams. That was stupid.
Did you guys see that one? I remember that one.
It was just basically Serena Williams and this girl gamer. Like she was, I guess she was attractive, and they were wearing skin tight. They were wearing skin tight suits and like making all these suggestive behaviors that, you know, they were trying to play tennis, but it obviously that's not what they were doing. And that was just the entire commercial.
Yeah. Are TV ads mentioned in it?
Yeah, you said any type of ads.
I hate ads like that stupid Dead Space 2. Like the ones where the
Your mom he told us to leave that one out.
Okay, sorry.
Because that's when like, the longer,
like,
I think.
Like a trailer and then a release date. I mean, for us, I don't think it does much because we already are so immersed in that. Yeah. We already know that it's coming out. But I mean, like my trainer, he'll be like, oh, I just saw this cool, you know, commercial for this thing, and he'll like ask me about it, and then so I think it gets obviously does its job, like it gets other people outside of the gaming world into it. But
yeah, I mean, for me, the more interesting thing since I did do marketing is just to see how what the commercials are and how they're doing it. Like I was really interested to see how Nintendo is handling the marketing of 3DS because that's a feature that you can't
show in an ad.
And one of the things they're doing, I found out when I went to New York, is buying kiosks in airports. There was a humongous like convention type thing for the 3DS in the terminal at JFK where you could go up and play with a 3DS.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
That's what they did with the Wii too, right? I saw because I remember seeing a Wii kiosk at the mall one time.
Oh,
and they were just doing like demos and stuff.
So, that's their most interesting to me in kind of their execution and how they decide to push the game. We've got time for one more, and I wanted to get this one in because this is fighting words for Christine here. This question comes to us from Malad. Malad said he's been playing Mass Effect, and he wonders, what's so fun about it? He's like, I played the demo, and I was instantly bored.
Wait, one or two?
He just says Mass Effect, so I'm assuming one. So he's like, am I not seeing something you are, or what?
Wait, if he played the demo and he was instantly bored, then why did he get the game?
No.
He just played the demo.
Okay.
I would say, again, that that's one of those games that you can't really get a full experience from in a demo.
No, not at all. Yeah. And another thing is, I mean, I was instantly into it, but I know that there are other people who it took them a little while to get
that I was
going,
one of them.
And then they really liked it. So,
yeah.
I mean, I'm sure it's not very expensive now, if you want to
know. No, it's not. I think I bought Mass Effect 2, like, not long ago, and it was only $20. So Mass Effect 1, I would think, would be super cheap.
Yeah. I would say still try it out. I mean, it's worth the cost.
And I only played a little bit of the first game, because I was actually borrowing an Xbox from the office one Christmas. And then I got the second game, because I was like, I'm tired of everyone saying it's the greatest game ever. I got to play it. And I was instantly hooked. And you don't even have to play the first game to get it, not really. Comic book.
I mean,
I still love the first game. I mean, I liked it too. It had issues for sure. But
yeah, but I'm one of those people that was slow. Like, I had started it twice and stopped playing before I finally started the third time and got all the way through. Because I don't know what it was. The pace was too slow at the beginning, and it was too Star Trek-y for me at the time. And then I actually had to watch more Star Trek because my husband made me. And then it seemed like it wasn't so bad.
And I remember the frame rate or something being kind of janky.
The frame rate was bad, and then the pop-in textures were really bad.
Yeah, I don't mind that stuff so much.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, at the time too, it was like one of the first games that I started playing when I was getting back into gaming, and so I didn't notice any of that crap.
Yeah,
I mean, I sort of noticed it, but it wasn't like, oh no, that's not good over there.
Yeah, and the other problem too, when I started it the first time, I was still kind of very just run out and shoot everybody instead of like taking cover and trying to be strategic.
Remember, I died a lot in the beginning because I didn't understand that either.
Like,
what? No. Oh.
Yeah, I died a lot and got frustrated and said, I don't like this game. But I did finally play through it. It is worth it if you play through it. Jess is the one that gave Jess and you both, I think, gave the good advice about the fact that there's the one planet that you can go to early on that you really shouldn't until you're
don't
more leveled
go
up
to Novaria.
Yeah. So
go to get Liara or go to the other planet first. I think Farron or something. I don't remember exactly.
Yeah, because once you get to that planet, you're stuck in a really trying
battle.
You're
stuck in a bad way, yeah. So don't do it.
Yeah. All right, so that's it. We're going to wrap it up for this week. And since we will all be at the show, well, most of us will be at the show next week, but the other two will be here working anyhow.
Yep.
We will not be having a girl fight next week. We'll be back with you the week after that with Mr. Jim Riley.
All right.
Supposedly. That's right. So we'll see if he holds up to his promise. In the meantime, next week, stay tuned to IGN for all the latest, greatest E3 news. There's going to be so much stuff going up on the site. You will not believe it. Yes. You can watch the live show for every day and see some demos, even before we're going to be able to write about some of them. And we will have all the vital information for you as soon as it happens. So definitely stay tuned to IGN for the entire show. And as always, if you have questions for us, you can send those to IGNGirlFight@gmail.com. You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/IGNGirlFight. You can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/IGNGirlFight. And I just want to say real quickly, the IGN Girl Fight Twitter account is following all of the individual members of IGN. So you might want to log on there if you're not following us individually, and follow us all, because I'm sure we'll all be tweeting like mad during E3. And then also most of those go to my IGN as well, where you can all follow us individually there as well. And I think that covers it. Thanks so much for listening, and we will be back with you in 2 weeks.
Bye-bye.